ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोक्य भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर डूइंग चैप्टर नंबर 4। लास्ट वीक वी कंप्लीटेड द फर्स्ट 10 वर्सेस wherein वी डिस्कस्ड द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द गीता, द क्वालिफिकेशन टू अंडरस्टैंड द गीता एंड हाउ इट मस्ट बी अंडरस्टूड इन अ गुरु शिष्य परंपरा। देन अर्जुन आस्क्ड अ क्वेश्चन related to Krishna's age, that is, how could you speak the Gita to Sun God? As you mentioned, he is asking Krishna, since Sun God is senior by birth to you. Then Krishna starts explaining about his divinity, that he does not take birth like all of us are forced by our karma. He descends in his self-same body, and he descends millennium after millennium for three purposes: to destroy the miscreants, to protect the pious, and to re-establish dharma. And anybody who can understand the truth behind Krishna's appearance and activities in this world becomes liberated. He does not have to take any more material birth. And many people in the past have thus attained that perfection. Now in text number 10 to 16, Krishna clarifies three misconceptions. Number one, if anybody who can understand Krishna, the truth behind his activities and appearance, gets liberated, the process is so easy. Why don't people come to him? Why is that everybody is not getting that same mercy? Is God partial? So Krishna clarifies that in text number 11 first. He says, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sivaiva bhajame ham. He says, I am not partial. He indicates when he says that as everyone approaches me, I reward them accordingly. So he is not partial, he is reciprocative. If somebody wants the Lord's mercy, the Lord is there to give it. If somebody wants to stay away from him, he lets them stay away from him. Those who want to come close to God, those who have that desire, Krishna gives them all the facilities to come closer. And those who want to stay away from him, they do not want his guidance, his association, okay, they are given those facilities. So they will be born in places which are 10,000 miles away, where they have no access to God. So not that God is partial, he just reciprocates according to our bhava. Imagine a father has four children, they are all playing in the courtyard, and two of them run up to him and they want to sit on his lap, they want his attention. So it is the father's duty, he puts them on his lap and starts showing his love for them. And somebody who is watching this, he sees, hey, what is this? This is partiality. You are loving these two children. What about those who are playing? Why are you not showering your mercy on them? He said, I am ready equally for them also. If they also run up to me, they will also get the same mercy. These two children wanted my attention, so it's my duty to reciprocate. Same thing with God. He is standing as a neutral witness. Those who turn to him, he helps them. Those who choose to stay away, they get those facilities. So everything certainly then boils down to our desire. Those people who feel disconnected from God, it's their desire. And those people who want to connect, it's their desire. Imagine there is a prisoner, and the prison house is there for refining or purifying the person of his sinful mentality. And the government is sending some person to help him, to counsel him. But every time the help is sent, the prisoner refuses. Then what happens after some time? They stop sending. So those people who do not have any access to God or do not even have the desire, these are people who have shown in the past by their choices that they don't want his help or association or access to him. So the whole universe is running based on desire. Based on desire, we are here in the material world, and if we desire, we can also return to the spiritual realm. It's as simple as that. So we have to be very mindful of our desires. With every desire, we are sowing a seed for future birth. The particular type of body, family, community, each desire. That's why we have now everybody is talking about being mindful. So this word has been going around for some time now. And everything, I think, originates from Bombay. First, 2019, they had FOMO. And then you have something. Abhi to pichla to quarantine shabd se nikal gaya pura. And COVID. And then I am spiritual but not religious. And then you have mindfulness. But see, for mindfulness also, we need to be properly guided by the scriptures. Imagine one patient guiding or one person. Like, we are living in a society. हमने सुना है कि अपना दुख बांट लेने से, शेयर कर लेने से कम हो जाता है. सो वी गो टू अ फ्रेंड एंड वी डाउनलोड एवरीथिंग, वॉट एवर इज बॉदरिंग अस, वॉट एवर इज देयर इन अवर हार्ट. एंड द अदर पर्सन सेज, हम गए थे अपना हल्का होने के लिए, तो अदर पर्सन सेज, ये तो कुछ भी नहीं है, तो मेरा सुन. वी गो देयर टू डाउनलोड एंड वी कम बैक गेटिंग फुल्ली लोडेड विद अ लॉट मोर स्ट्रेस. So one patient trying to help the other person. So when we say being mindful, this process also has a defect, huge defect. Because we are trying to be mindful based on the popular opinion or based on what we feel and think is right, whereas the guidebooks for humanity, on the basis of which we are judged by the universal laws, are scriptures. So when we talk about mindfulness, that mindfulness also has to be based on Shastra. What is right, what is wrong, what is to be avoided, what is to be done. Vindhyaji was giving darshan for the first time. Good to see you. How is your family doing? Okay. Sorry, I'm just recovering. I don't have so much strength, so I'm speaking very slow. So this is one thing Krishna clarifies. Second misconception he clarifies. Okay, if Krishna is there, he is the best, he is ready to reciprocate any time we turn to him, then why do people turn to demigods, devatas? Why do people worship them? Then Krishna says, because most of the people are motivated by material desires, and devatas are in charge of fulfillment of material necessities. And since people want material desires only to be fulfilled, they have no interest in me, they turn to them. Very simple. And the third misconception Krishna clarifies is that people think Gita talks about caste system. No, Gita never mentions something called caste system. It does talk about Varnashrama system. Have you heard this word, Varnashrama system? Okay, have you heard these words, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmachari, Grahastha,
yes.
Vanaprastha, Sannyas? So, Varnas and
yes.
Ashramas, yes. So, Gita talks about this system. And Krishna says, I am the creator of this system. Humans have degraded it to a caste system. But what Krishna established was Varnashrama system. So what is this Varnashrama system? Sometimes we might wonder, why do we have these divisions in society? Just imagine, why do we have divisions in society? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was equally seen, given facilities? It's like asking, why not have a same textbook, same classroom for LKG students, students studying in 6th, 7th standard, students who are doing PhD, students who are doing, giving their boards. So what is this Varnashram system? See, as the soul falls into this material world, that means all of us, and depending on the choices that we keep making life after life after life, we get conditioned by a particular set of choices, thinking, faith, determination, intelligence. Everything is decided by those conditionings. Now we are born with a particular nature. So we think we are making the choices? No. Like, what is your favorite food, Manjari ji?
Pizza,
okay. So we have a similar choice. And favorite color?
Olive green.
And what about you, Ritika ji? Favorite food, favorite color?
Favorite food is Chinese.
And
okay. Color is mint blue.
And what kind of music do you like?
I'm a Bollywood queen.
Okay.
Hindi, Bollywood music.
Okay. And Vindhya ji, what's your favorite food, color, music?
I like pink color.
Mm-hmm.
And I love authentic regional Indian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Bollywood music.
Okay. And Shruti ji?
I like pink color.
Mm-hmm.
Pink is my favorite.
Okay.
And food is Indian food.
Achha, you like the one which you cook?
Yeah, I eat sometimes because I have to eat before serving to my people.
No, the question is different. Do you like what you cook?
Whether you like it.
No, I don't eat everything. I'm telling you the truth. That's the thing.
So just imagine.
That's
So,
hello?
Yes. Thank you. So,
yeah.
So we think, where are these choices coming from? Have you ever tried to analyze? Why do you like Indian classical, or somebody likes Western music, somebody likes Chinese, somebody likes Italian? Where is this coming from? Did somebody teach you this? Okay, so Shruti ji, you're growing up, make sure your favorite color is pink. And Ritika ji, you're growing up, make sure your favorite color should be mint blue. Or Manjari ji, olive green, and Vindhya ji's pink. Has somebody taught you this? Has somebody taught you this is the kind of food you must like? Has anybody taught you this? Nahi na. So where are these choices coming from? We think we are making the choices. No. This is all the three gunas we are carrying from the past, and according to that we develop certain inclinations, attractions, repulsions, the kind of people we like, the kind of music we like, the kind of people we dislike, the kind of food we like and dislike.
Guruji, I'm sorry, I missed that. Guruji, sorry.
Yeah. So I was asking, where are these choices coming from? Have you ever try to analyze. This is the kind of nature we are carrying from the past, depending on choices we have made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And now these are conditionings. You can call it conditionings, nature, personality. Gita says three modes, gunas. We'll discuss three gunas in detail later on. But this concept is very, very important. If you understand the concept of three gunas, goodness, passion, ignorance, sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun, you will get answers to questions like, why do different people behave differently? Why do we do what we do? This is the answer. So now, so depending on the kind of activities we have indulged in the past, we arrive at a particular conscious level of consciousness. So the material nature, which is one of the energies of Krishna, seeing our level of consciousness desires, it facilitates a particular type of body in the next life, in a particular community, family, and with a particular level of fate determination that we carry. And depending on how well suited we are for a particular setup, we are given a suitable body. Somebody, okay, this person is best suited for a Brahminical culture. Okay, he's given birth in a... So, Krishna has given these four designations, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So, he sees, okay, iska kitna level hai, okay, he's best suited for Brahminical culture. It's like in a company, imagine there are 100 employees and there is no segregation. कोई पूछे काम करना करो सब कोई सब लोग लग जाओ नॉट एवरीबडी इज सूटेड फॉर एवरी टाइप ऑफ जॉब दैट्स व्हाई वी हैव इंटरव्यूज सो उसी तरह से समझिए वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम इज दैट सो अकॉर्डिंग टू पर्सन पास्ट गुण एंड कर्मा वन इज बॉर्न एज ए ब्राह्मण और अ क्षत्रिय और अ वैश्य और अ शूद्र दैट्स द फुल प्रूफ सिस्टम ऑफ द लॉर्ड बिकॉज द लॉर्ड अंडरस्टैंड दिस इज वेयर ही विल ग्रो दिस इज वेयर दिस पर्सन कैन ग्रो दिस इज द सेटअप इन दिस पर्सन कैन ग्रो And after making this system, giving them birth accordingly, he also designates their duties. So Brahmanas have a certain set of duties. 17th chapter of the Gita explains Kshatriya has a certain set, Vaishyas and Shudras. And the duties are different and they are given according to their capacity. And these duties are based on religious principles. I'm talking about an ideal society. Kali Yuga, so everything is hodgepodge. But we are talking about why this system was there in the first place. So this system is the manifestation of the Lord's mercy upon everyone. Imagine, now just to sum it up, a teacher, he has all types of students in his class, not everybody is that great. So one is very intelligent and there is an exam, so he has to sit and write and based on that he gets marks. Another student comes, he says, sir, I have not studied much. Okay, whatever you have studied, based on that you answer. Sit. Third person comes, sir, I have not studied at all. He said, okay, write anything. And the fourth one says, I don't even know how to write. Teacher says, don't worry, you just come and sit in the classroom. And if all four of you follow my instructions, all of you will get 100 out of 100. That's the magnanimity of the teacher. He understands their caliber and accordingly he gives them a certain direction. That is this Varnashram system. One is born as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or Shudra according to one's own guna and karma from the past. But then the Lord wants to give all four categories an equal opportunity to advance or get elevated. So this is that system. And these duties were based on religious principles. So that they are not just advancing materially, they also advance spiritually. So everybody should be given an equal opportunity to advance in life. That was this Varnashram system. But 5,000 years ago when Krishna disappeared from this world, the degradation started and it started with the Brahminical culture. They started becoming proud and they started mistreating the other classes, and that's how it degenerated into a caste system. However, originally it's very, very pure and uplifting. So Krishna says, even though I am the creator of this system, I don't get implicated by any action and reaction, because everything that we do in this world has a reaction. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And then Krishna turns his attention to a topic of karma. And he says it's very difficult to understand the intricacies of karma. What kind of action will give what kind of reaction? At what time and through whom the reaction will come? How will it come? That's very difficult to understand. Sometimes the reaction is immediate. Sometimes the reaction is in this lifetime. Sometimes it may take few lifetimes to manifest, depending on the seed which is sown. Like a mustard seed, when it is sown, how many days does it take to fructify? A mustard seed? Guess. Just guess. Wild guess.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. Just take 2-3 days. And a mango seed may take like few years. Coconut, pomegranate. So depending on the kind of action, a particular type of reaction comes. And that is decided by the higher authorities. Like, I may commit a crime, but then the reaction I cannot decide. I cannot go to the court and say, Judge Sahab, just give me this reaction, this saja, and for this much amount of time, keep me here. And the judge will decide. The only choice I have is my action. So there are three types of karma. One is called karma, vikarma, and akarma. Krishna talks about all three. Karma means good deeds, helping the needy, like so many people do, pious activities, charity to the needy, the poor, giving them food, clothing, shelter. And nowadays, so I don't know, but earlier, your families that you are coming from, they must have done it. They used to build some dharmshalas or some rooms in holy places for the pilgrims, or they would dig wells. Abhi to wells nahi hote, but making some arrangements for drinking water, like that. So these are pious activities. Then there is vikarma. Vikarma means sinful activities, and that we all know, which leads to sinful reactions, the bad reactions, punishments, misery, anxiety. And then there is something called akarma. Akarma. Akarma means activities which are in relation to God. Like this activity which we are doing every Monday, it's called akarma. What is the difference? Anybody who is engaged in pious activities, good deeds, what is the destination of that person? At max, when the soul passes away from this world, can go to the heavenly planets, which are within the material world, swarga, and there this soul enjoys for thousands of years, and the kind of enjoyment available is unimaginable. And but once the stock of piety gets over, the soul has to come down here, back again. Soul is not liberated simply by being engaged in pious activities. And vikarma, and then the resultant good birth, resultant birth will be good, of course. Like a few examples, Mahabharata, Bhagavad talks about, Garuda Puran, they all talk about what kind of action leads to what particular reaction. Like we say, okay, kuch gadbad ho gaya, karma hai, kya kare? But which action leads to particular reaction, we may not know everything, but Mahabharata and Bhagavad, Garuda Puran, they have given certain, like main thoda sa yaad aa raha hai. For example, if somebody has helped supply medicine to the needy whenever required, has helped them, or he has helped build hospitals selflessly, I'm not saying for making money, selflessly. It's not just the action, but the intention behind the action that will decide the result. So somebody has selflessly built hospitals and where the needy can be served. So that person, as a reaction to this, will be born with a very good health in the next life. Will never have any health issues. Somebody who has helped in the education of others, that person will be born as very intelligent in the next life. So you see, nobody ever becomes poor by giving. Whatever we give away, that's what we get in return in future. That's what we get back. And whatever we hold on to, the law of karma states, for ourselves, that's what we are deprived of in the future, in the future life. We may not pay too much attention right now, but again, we'll have to leave this world one day. We'll be born, and we make sure that we are born in a better situation, at least if we are not liberated. So whatever we hold on to, that's what we are deprived of. And whatever we share, that's what we get back. And sometimes million times also in return. So this is the vikarma part, and that leads to misery, resultant really bad birth. A person may be born with a in a very miserable condition, poor family, somebody who is engaged in sinful activity, maybe poor health. And then there is something called akarma. Akarma means activities in relation to God. So akarma means, even though there is an activity taking place, there is an action, but there is no reaction, either good or bad, because either good or bad, both will keep us in the material world only. Liberation is not guaranteed. So we see that this activity which we are doing every Monday, it has no reaction. This 1 hour we are spending, it produces no reaction. Plus, it also helps to nullify the previous reactions. And it also elevates us beyond good and bad. It leads us towards liberation. That is why it is important to connect with God for our own benefit. Because especially even in this life or previous lives, we might have done some bad activities knowingly, unknowingly. We don't know. Some mistakes. And when the reaction to our vikarma starts manifesting in our life, we should know that our good karma will not nullify that bad karma. Only the...
I have a question over here.
Just a second. Let me complete this. So only the akarmic part of our life, the time, energy, resources we manifested, that will protect us against the reaction to our bad. So that's why it's important to connect with God. Not just doing good, avoiding the bad, but also doing something in relation to the Lord that will help us rise above. Yes, please ask.
Guruji, now the children, lot of children, they are like my son. If he is an atheist, he doesn't understand doing something for the God, but he will do all the good karmas if he has something that in mind. So what about that?
How old is he?
He is 17.
17. Theek hai, at least he's doing some good work. But as a mother, we should also teach them to begin with, to be grateful to God for whatever He has blessed us with. So take one step at a time. We should just try to encourage that whatever we have is by His grace. Even if I am able to do good to somebody, who is providing me that intelligence, those resources, where is it coming from? It's coming from Him only. He has given me birth in a family where I can afford to do good to others. So therefore, just start with that gratitude part.
Okay.
Or at least be thankful that by His grace you are able to do something nice. Because unless the soul is blessed, man mein ichha bhi nahi aayegi. कुछ अच्छा करने की किसी का. सो जस्ट टेलिंग टीचिंग दैट बाय हिज मर्सी वी हैव गॉट द इंटेलिजेंस एंड एबिलिटी सो एटलीस्ट से थैंक यू दैट्स इट इवन इफ इट्स लाइक इट टेक्स 2 seconds ओके से थैंक यू गॉड फॉर वट एवर यू गिवन मी एंड विद दैट आई एम एबल टू हेल्प सो मेनी पीपल सो दैट्स अ गुड बिगनिंग आई थिंक सो डोंट एक्सपेक्ट के ओवर नाइट ओनली ओ ही इज अ लवर ऑफ गॉड एंड ही इज नॉट टर्निंग आउट टू बी वन नो जस्ट बिगिन विद दिस एटलीस्ट इफ यू कैन टीच अवर चिल्ड्रन टू बी एटलीस्ट ग्रेटफुल और एक्नॉलेज द हैंड दैट इज फीडिंग ऑल ऑफ अस दैट्स गुड दैट्स अ गुड बिगनिंग एंड दैट विल गो अ लॉन्ग वे एंड देन फेचिंग देम द ग्रेस ऑफ द लॉर्ड That's what the Lord expects. Like there was a man in a village, very charitable, and it was his daily routine. He would go to the terrace, and from above he would just start throwing grocery and all those things those people needed. People would gather at 10 o'clock in the morning. They would just pick up everything and leave. So one fine day, this person spoke to a friend of his, I feel for these people, but it would do real good to them if they could at least acknowledge the person who is giving it to them. They don't even look up and who is giving. They just pick up things and leave. So that's not good. So the friend, he chanted a particular mantra into his ear. He said, you try this tomorrow. So next morning when he went up, people gathered, they were looking down and waiting for things to fall. And this day, the person started throwing, instead of grocery, some small pebbles. And when those pebbles started hitting them, immediately, hey, who is this? They looked up. And now this person was smiling. So this is what happens when everything is going our way. We're just looking down, accumulating things. When things start hitting us on our head, then we immediately look up. Who is hitting? And then the finger goes up. So what this person expected them to be, at least be grateful. And that he would be happy. At least acknowledge. Like for example, if you have a charitable nature, like you have a child, and you are giving him as a mother all you expect from him is to be grateful. You don't expect anything in return other than at least acknowledge, and that acknowledgement also you expect from your child, not because you need it, you want it, because it will be good for him. That quality of gratitude. So that let that gratitude begin with gratitude towards parents, and then the ultimate parents. So, or kuch nahi ho, so we must try to inculcate this quality of gratitude in our children. If not God, if that's too far, at least let them begin by being grateful to the parents, to the family.
Self is not neither.
Right. Vindhyaji, does that answer your question? Huh? And secondly, always you can offer a prayer to Krishna and to shower his grace upon your son. Because even if you are practicing it, even if you are a nice devotee of Krishna, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, everyone connected to you will get his mercy. Everyone. If you become a sincere devotee of Krishna, Krishna will take care of all your near and dear ones. Whether they become or not, that's a detail. But just by being connected to you, everyone whom you love and everyone who loves you will get the same mercy. In fact, they will get more mercy than you get. So the ball is in your court. So don't worry. Pray. You be sincere and do your best as a mother what you can do and leave the rest to him.
Okay.
So Akarma means activities in relation to God that will save us, as in the second chapter Krishna has mentioned. Even little advancement, little connection on this path will protect us from the greatest fears in life. And therefore, Krishna is guiding us towards not just working for one's own self. Vikarma is also a person doing for his own self, right? Thinking he will enjoy this way. Akarma is also for one's own self. Because even when we are doing good to others, there is some selfishness involved. In the sense that that subtle sense of, I am doing it, I am helping the poor, I am helping them, I am doing this. People may not say it, but if you go deep down, there is that subtle sense of satisfaction. I is there somewhere involved. I am doing it. I am serving so many. I am doing so much good work. But then Krishna guides us towards a karma. He said, no, life is not just about thinking about one's own self. One must try to be detached from the results, sacrifice the results for his pleasure. You're just trying, enjoying for like, this is a sacrifice that we are doing every Monday. And this is the greatest sacrifice. See, we cannot impress the Lord or get his grace by giving him wealth. Can we impress him with wealth? He is Lakshmipati. Can we impress him with beauty? Oh, he is the most beautiful. Can we impress him with knowledge? How much do we have? We don't even remember what we had in our breakfast 3 days ago. Yaad karna padega. Can we impress him with our renunciation? Can we impress him with our fame? No. But we can definitely impress him by giving him our time. So this is the greatest sacrifice. We are sacrificing our valuable time for him. And this is a selfless. And you are sitting and hearing. This also is a sacrifice of a sort, because nobody likes to hear nowadays. Everybody is just wanting to speak. So sitting and hearing for 1 hour and only one person is speaking, that also is a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice of ego. Because ego says, no, I must speak. But here we are humbly listening. So that's a sacrifice. We are sacrificing our valuable time. These two are the greatest sacrifices we can ever make. And this is the only difference between a sincere devotee and a person who is not so sincere. Sacrificing our ego, that means becoming humble in the service of the Lord. And sacrificing our time to hear about him. You could be doing 10 different things at this time, isn't it? So this is the way we get his grace. So, and then Krishna answers that it's not just I'm expecting you to make sacrifices. Everyone who wants to achieve something great in life is making sacrifices. Nothing great has ever been achieved without a sacrifice. Now here sacrifice, when Krishna discusses in text number 17 to say 30, 34 or something, he is talking about sacrifice in literal sense. And sacrifice also means what we are understanding. Sacrificing something lower for something higher. Then he gives the examples of many, many types of people, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis, the sages and the grihasthas. Everybody is sacrificing to achieve the desired result. And therefore, Arjuna, you should also not be selfish. And he says, all these sacrifices, not the Vedas mentioned the various types of rituals. They are called yajñas, and another name for them is sacrifices. Yajñas, sacrifices, they are the same thing. So all classes of people in this world are expected to perform these yajñas or sacrifices because they help us connect with him. And these sacrifices are known as sacrifices because in this is involved the sacrifice of our time, our possessions, our sense enjoyment, right? When you are performing some puja at home, what happens? Somebody will say, you have to fast today till this time, don't have to eat this, you have to take bath. So this is some kind of rules and regulations. And these sacrifices or yajnas, which are based on scriptural principles, are designed in such a way that when we perform them, we gradually get purified. And then we come to a certain level where we realize, oh, I am actually a spiritual being, and therefore I must try and walk further on this path and know more about God. How can I connect? In this Kali Yuga, before I move ahead, since we do not know what kind of sacrifices we need to perform, and we do not have people who can do it for us, qualified people, there is only one sacrifice or yajna recommended in Kali Yuga for everyone. And if we do that, then our spiritual life is considered complete. And that is Sankirtan Yajna, or the sacrifice of the holy name. That means chanting of the Lord's holy names is the religious practice for the age, for this yuga. So Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is the Maha Mantra for this, because for every yuga the mantra differs. But Kali Santarana Upanishad specially mentions this 16 syllable mantra for this. So this, the chanting of this, if somebody can do regularly every day, then his life, spiritual life, should be considered to be complete. Because this is the practice for the yuga. Everything else we are doing, okay, that could be detail. But ultimately, this is the essence. Kali Yuga Keval Naam Adhara, as Tulsidas ji also says. So only name in Kali Yuga. So if we do this, we will also get purified and we come to a certain level. Because all the sacrifices ultimately culminate in knowledge. We get the knowledge that we are actually spiritual beings. Our identity is spiritual. We are the souls, parts and parcels of God. And then to acquire further knowledge, we have to make another sacrifice. And that is the sacrifice of false ego by surrendering to a guru. Now you see, surrender, it sounds very scary. Because some of the Sanskrit words have no English equivalents. In Sanskrit, it's called Sharan. Sharan, Sharanagati, yes, Samarpan. That's not scary. Surrender sounds scary. So here, it means the next sacrifice that we need to perform is that of false ego by approaching a bona fide guru. So there are three steps involved to acquire further knowledge about God, without which it's impossible. It doesn't say go to Google, check WhatsApp or Wikipedia or read some book from the market. It says approach a bona fide spiritual master. There are three steps. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master, a bona fide devotee of the Lord. Second, inquiring from him submissively. Make inquiries from him submissively. And number three, render service unto him by rendering service. So when we serve our guru, then whatever knowledge we are acquiring from him gets digested. So these are the three elements required that we need to apply or implement, three principles, if we want to become perfect in our knowledge. Approaching a bona fide guru, inquiring from him submissively, and rendering service unto him. Three. And Krishna says that if somebody acquires this knowledge through this method, then what will happen? He will never again fall into illusion. He also becomes free from sinful reactions. And anybody who disregards these injunctions from the scriptures will never become perfect either in this life or the next. His endeavors will never meet perfection. The Lord has said this. And therefore, in the end, he encourages Arjuna to cultivate this culture of knowledge And equipped with this knowledge, he encourages Arjuna to do his duty. We are all working in this world, but Krishna wants us to work not in ignorance, but equipped with this knowledge. So he's not saying stop working. He said do what you are doing, keep doing, but with this knowledge you work, because then you will not get implicated further in the laws of karma if you work in knowledge. And that's how this chapter called Transcendental Knowledge ends. Krishna glorifying the culture of knowledge. And to acquire knowledge, we need to hear from scriptures. So that's what we have been doing. So we are on the right track. Hare Krishna.
We do good work.
Ji.
For that satisfaction, subtle satisfaction that you get.
No, I'm just saying, still there is that element of selfishness. I am doing it.
It's good to do some good work.
That's what I'm saying. But it should not lead you to think that you are the doer. What do we have to offer something to somebody? What I'm addressing is the mentality of being the doer, and that leads to subtle pride. Like ek bar Tulsidas ji ke bare mein suna hai aapne, naam suna hai Tulsidas ji?
Yes.
So he sent a message to Rahim. They were contemporaries, another saint Rahim. So he heard that Rahim was giving charity every day, but when he was giving, he would just put his head down. He would not even look at the person who was receiving the charity. So he sent him a note that what kind of charity you are giving, sir, niche karke, you are not even looking at the person. He said, so he spoke in a Doha form, I forgot. He said, main iske liye sir niche jhuka leta hun ke I am giving it to somebody thinking that I am giving. Mera to hai hi nahi, na to main leke aaya tha. So I feel embarrassed with that thought. So I just put my head down. I don't want to show my face to somebody thinking that. Now he was not thinking like that, but he was just being humble. Do good work, but know where it is coming from. Whose resources you are distributing. You should have this mentality. I am just being a humble instrument. It's his. It's his wealth, his resources, and I'm very grateful that he has made me the instrument of his compassion. Never ever thinking that I am helping somebody or I can. So if I think I can do it, that's false ego. And if somebody thinks, if I think I cannot do it, that's also false ego. He is the doer. So what I'm addressing is that subtle sense of doership that needs to be avoided, because as long as we have that, then that comes in the way of our mercy that is coming from the Lord. So why should we allow anything to come in between the Lord and his mercy? We should be just like transparent via media of the Lord's compassion. Transparent via media, the light comes from the Lord. It should get reflected without any. If there is a dirt on that glass, it will not get reflected. It's just transparent. It's coming from. Okay. So that's what the whole message of the Gita is. You don't have to stop what you are doing. The consciousness needs to change. Like I was answering Vindaji's question. Yes, so her son likes to do good work. Very nice. But then that element has to be added that it's ultimately he who is supplying, and being grateful to him to give you the opportunity so that you can afford to help someone. So that should not be forgotten. That will protect us from gross pride. And because when that pride comes that I am helping, next step is God takes a back seat. So why do we need? I'm just being good, do good. Aisa bahut log hain society mein fir karne wale. And that keeps us away from the grace of the Lord. And then we keep making that choice, and then we come into a position where we have no access to Him. So that pride at any cost, as soon as you realize, like a snake raises its hood, immediately it should be put down. So aise thoda sa bhi lage pride, I am doing it, I am great, I am special, usi samay just offer a humble prayer to Krishna, please protect me from this pride, let me not be affected. And if you pray like that, you will never get affected, and you will be able to do much more, because Krishna empowers more and more those people who are humble, and he knows that they will not get affected if I give them more. So you'll be given more to help others. So that connection has to be there. We should know where it's coming from, and we should know who we are. Right? Hare Krishna. Anything else? So we stop here?
Yes.
So you are only speaking, Shrutiji, you're not giving darshan.
Actually, Guruji, I am on my way back home.
I
from
know.
Work.
Looks like.
So that's why I couldn't come on screen.
No problem. Okay.
Yeah.
Theek hai.
Okay.
So I'll see all of you next
Pranam,
Monday.
Guruji.
Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.